some great kings that have come before us. Bernie Mac, the king of comedy, he's dead. Michael Jackson, the king of pop, he's dead. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, he's dead. B.B. King, the king of blues, he's dead. James Brown, the king or the godfather of soul, is dead. But there's one who lives forever, and that is Jesus Christ. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is alive forevermore.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Killed for Trying to Help. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Killed for Trying to Help.
I'm going to ask that you open in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And while they talked together of these things which had happened, it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Israel? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And I want to speak to you on this thought today. Killed for trying to help. Killed for trying to help. Back in the 70s, there was a song entitled Abraham, Martin, and John. It was written by a man by the name of Dick Holler, and it was first recorded by a singer named Dion. And it was a tribute to the memory of 4 assassinated Americans, all of them trying to help, all of them trying to make a difference. The first one that it sang about was Abraham Lincoln. And it talked about how Lincoln was the inaugurator of the Emancipation Proclamation and how that he signed it in January 1st, 1863, and at that, the slaves were declared to be free. A couple years later, Lincoln was trying to promote a cause that would get blacks the right to vote. As he was promoting that, one evening he was in the Ford Theater, and as he was there, a man by the name of John Wilkes Booth came and point blank shot him and killed him. And so in the song, it asked the question, has anybody seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good, they die young. You know, I just looked around and he's gone. The 35th president of the United States, John F. Kennedy, fought for civil rights. And he was one that promoted affirmative action. In 1963, while traveling in a presidential motorcade in Dallas, Texas, he was shot 2 times, once in the head and once in the throat. by a man named Lee Harvey Oswald, who was charged with the shooting. The question was asked, has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good, they die young. I just looked around, and he was gone. And all of us are familiar with Dr. Martin Luther King, who was a leader in the civil rights movement. On April 4th, 1968, as he stood on the second floor balcony of a hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, he was shot and killed by a man by the name of James Earl Ray, who was convicted of the murder. The question was asked, has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good, they all die young. I just looked around, and he was gone. Robert F. Kennedy, the brother of John Kennedy, was a U.S. senator and a presidential hopeful. He was a strong promoter of civil rights, and while campaigning in California on June of 1968, he was shot three times by a man known as Sirhan Sirhan, a 24-year-old Palestinian. In the song, the question asks, anybody here seen my old friend Bobby? Can you tell me where he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over the hill with Abraham, Martin, and John. And then the chorus of the song says, didn't you love the things that they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? And we'll be free. Someday soon, it's going to be one day. Killed for trying to help. Back in the 70s, there was a black poet by the name of Gil Scott Heron. And he had a song entitled Winter in America. And it aptly put the situation that the minorities in this country were dealing with at that time. And he talked about how that America was in a season of winter. And one of the things that he said in this song that he sung, that all of the healers, the ones who could help us, have been killed or sent away. Why is it that those who have tried to help, why is it that those who have tried to make a difference, that many of them along the way lost their life and they were killed trying to help? In our text this morning, we read about another man who was killed trying to help. In verse 19 of Luke chapter 24, and they said unto him, what things? And they said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet indeed and word before God and all the people, trying to help, trying to help. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified, trying to help. But we hoped that it had been him who should redeem Israel, trying to help. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. When you think about the disciples, somebody said, they all walked away with nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, and now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. They lost their leader. They lost their hope. When Abraham died, can you imagine the dreams and hopes of a lot of people that had been shattered, that when Martin Luther King was assassinated, can you imagine the dreams and hopes that had been shattered when the Kennedy brothers were killed? The dreams of many were killed along with them. But when we think of others who were killed trying to help. There's one big difference between them and the man we're talking about in the text today. The big difference between those who were killed trying to help and Jesus was that he was the only one that rose from the dead. He was the only one that came back from life. He was the only one that died trying to help, but he rose again from the dead. And because of the resurrection, we see three things that I want to share with you very briefly this morning. The first one is that because of the resurrection, we have hope for a better life. We go back to the other one. Because of the resurrection, we have hope for a better life. When we look at Martin Luther King, look what he was trying to fight for. Look what he was trying to promote. He said in his I Have a Dream speech, in a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. The note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed unalienable rights. Look at this. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what he was about. That's what he was fighting for, that all people, red and yellow, black and white, would have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When we look at this man who died in our text and rose again, what did he fight for? He fought that men might have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In John chapter 10, in verse 10, Jesus said, I have come, and not only come, but died and rose again, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Isn't that what these great leaders of our country fought for? Didn't they fight for a better life for somebody else? And yet and still Jesus comes, and he says that I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. That word abundant, life more abundant, comes from a Greek word that means super abundant in quality. And so, you know, some of us may say, well, I want more money. I want my 50 acres and a mule. I want to be able to live in a big house and drive a big car and wear nice clothes. But that's not the life that Jesus was talking about. That's not the abundant life that he was talking about. We see in this abundant life that Jesus talked about, there are three things that we should have in abundant life, and that is peace, joy, and fruitfulness. That's the abundant life that Christ came to give. And no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, because Christ rose from the dead, you ought to have peace, joy, and fruitfulness. Let's look at this idea of peace. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I giveth unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace. He gives us peace. As you sit here this morning, what the leaders die trying to give people. They die trying to give them peace. But I just want to say that in spite of whoever the leader is, that as God's people, we ought to try to find peace in a relationship with God. Because we might not have the peace that the leaders are trying to promote, but we can have the peace that only Christ can give. You know, when I think about the slaves, they had no reason to be peaceful. They had no reason to be joyful. They had no reason to be fruitful. But yet and still, out of their suffering, out of their turmoil, they found peace because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Out of slavery was born songs like, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the little tiny babies in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands." Now, if that's not peace, I don't know what is, to know that God has the whole world in his hands. Somebody say, "You're in good hands." But Allstate, the slaves knew that. In the midst of their trials and tribulation, they knew that God had the whole world in his hands. And they were able to take peace from that. Have you found peace this morning in the resurrection? They were able to find joy. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The resurrection promises us joy. And this joy that we have, the world didn't give it, and the world didn't take it away. And the slaves knew this. I was reading a quote by Frederick Douglass, who was an escaped slave, and he reflected on his times in slavery. And listen to what he wrote. "We were at times remarkably buoyant, singing hymns and making joyous exclamations, almost as a triumphant in their tone as if we had already reached the land of freedom and safety." Did you hear that? In the midst of being a slave, that they were able to sing hymns and make joyous exclamations. Why could they do that? Not because of Abraham Lincoln, not because of Martin Luther King, not because of the Kennedy brothers, but because of who? Because of Jesus Christ. Your joy is not dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent and rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Joy, peace, fruitfulness. John chapter 15 and verse 16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Fruitfulness. In the midst of sorrow, in the midst of struggling, that God still can work through you to bring forth fruit. Another song that was born out of slavery was one of my favorite songs, and it was titled, "I Shall Not Be Moved." I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And one of the lines in the song goes, "Come and join the army. I shall not be moved. Fighting sin and Satan, I shall not be moved." Man, the resurrection speaks to our heart. And it lets us know that because of the resurrection, we have hope for a better life. Man, isn't that something that people have fought for and worked for years and years, was for a better life? And Jesus said that I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly, that you might have a life super abundant in quality. There's a whole lot of people that got plenty of cash, but they don't have peace. There's a whole lot of people living in big houses, but they don't have joy. There's a whole lot of people that got money coming out their ears, but they're not fruitful. The resurrection gives us life. Because of the resurrection, secondly, we see that that our leader continues with us. That all other leaders are dead. They're in their grave. Now, granted, they probably are living somewhere beyond this life. You know, we know that the Bible, according to Luke 16, that when people die, you either go to a place in the presence of the Lord or you go to a place of eternal suffering. So all leaders who died, no matter how good their cause was, if they didn't know Christ, they're not in his presence right now. As many people as they might have helped, as much good as they might have done, they don't have eternal life. But because of the resurrection, our leader continues with us. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, he could not fulfill his promise. In Matthew chapter 28, he says, "Lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the earth." Talking to a guy one time. He was a Christian. He said he would never fly an airplane. I said, "Why? Don't you trust God? Don't you know that Jesus is going to be with you?" He said, "Well, you know, he said in Matthew 28 that, lo, I'll be with you." He didn't say anything when I get up there high. He's with us. Low or high, Jesus is always with us. He abides with us. And our leader, he died, but he came back. He came back. You know, look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Glaze translation. John chapter 20, after Mary had saw Jesus and had a conversation with him, and she said in John chapter 20, in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now let me read this in the Glaze translation. After Mary Magdalene had an encounter with Jesus, she came back to the disciples and said, "Our leader is back." Our leader is back. We thought that he was dead. Notice the guys in this passage, they had hope, and they lost all their hope. They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, in Luke chapter 24, verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have him crucified. But we had hoped that our leader should have been the one to redeem Israel. And besides this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now you got to keep in mind that in the Jewish culture back in this day, they believed that when a person died, that their spirit hovered around the area for 3 days. And so there was the hope that maybe in the 3 days, as Jesus' spirit hovered around, that he might come back. These guys had lost their hope. They were in Jerusalem, and now they were leaving. And they said, "Wow, it was 3 days since he died. And, you know, we kind of hope that, you know, we have a tradition, a custom in our tradition that, you know, the spirit kind of hangs around for, you know, 3 days. And now, you know what?"
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Killed for Trying to Help. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Killed for Trying to Help, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Killed for Trying to Help. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Killed for Trying to Help. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.